Okay. Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you all for joining the G-Spot with Mika Ray this evening. And we have Keys on the line. Are you there, Keys?
Yes, I'm here. How's everybody doing tonight?
Great. I think we all are doing wonderful. I just want to thank everybody for joining Blog Talk Radio with us. This is WJBR, and this is the G-Spot with Mika Ray. And, of course, my co-host, Keys. Tonight, we have a very interesting topic. We are discussing the cost of beauty. And we have a special guest tonight, and her name is April Michelle Brown. And she's going to share her story and what she experienced as she sought beauty. And I'm looking very much forward to listening to her and just hearing what she has to say. I did post her website in the actual invite, which is April Michelle Brown, and that's April with a Y instead of an I. It's aprilmichellebrown.com, so you could go on there and read a little bit about her story, learn more about her and who she is, and definitely we're going to just talk to her this evening and talk to her about it as well. So, Keith, how was your weekend?
Man, my weekend was great. You know, I just had to spend some time with my daughters and relax. You know, it was just a good relaxing weekend. Plus, it rained, so that just a good time to be indoors this weekend. How about yours?
Oh, I had a wonderful weekend. I actually did a presentation, one of my sex and sensuality workshops at the Shades Retreat this weekend, and it was wonderful. We were surrounded by lovely women who came for healing and growth, and it just went really well, and I was very excited about that. So that was my weekend, and I believe our guest is on now. So let me just double check and see if this is her. Bear with me. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, is this April?
No, it's not April, but listen, this is Ocean, and you probably don't remember me, but I called into your show a while ago, and I told you that I would be giving you some depictions of same-sex couples from ancient Kemet.
Oh, yes,
do you remember
I do
me?
Remember you.
Okay, I want to make this really quick. I left off of your site to get the document for you, and I forgot the name of your show. So the only thing I had was your number, and I said, you know what, I'm going to try it once a week, and then I'll be able to get the information from her. So can you tell me the name of your show? I'm going to put it in your inbox. And I'd like to explain to you what you're going to be looking at. It's extremely controversial, but I've been studying this for 7 years. So can you give me the name of your show, please?
It's the G-Spot with Mika Ray.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is look for the document. I'm going to put it in your inbox in the next 5 to 10 minutes. And you can go ahead and mute me. I'm just going to hold on, and I'm just going to verify with you later that you got it. And at some point in time, I'm going to want to explain to you what you are seeing. Is that okay with you?
That would be wonderful. We could definitely do that off record. That would be great.
Okay, so go ahead and put me on mute, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, thank you so much, Osha. And you have a good night, and continue to listen in.
I'll do that.
Thank you. Okay, Keith, so while we're waiting on April to call in, we'll go ahead and start with the song. And let's see. I think I want to start off with Bruno Mars, Beautiful. I think it's called Beautiful. Or Just the Way You Are. So we'll start off with that, and we will come back.
All right.
and I tell her every day. Yeah, I know, when I compliment her, she won't believe me. And it's so sad to think that she don't see what I see. But every time she asks me, do I look okay, I say. When I see your face,
everyone. So that was Bruno Mars, Amazing Just the Way You Are. I chose that song for tonight just because I feel like a lot of the times we do, women, some women, not all women, have internal self-esteem issues regarding.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Hello?
Now.
Oh, okay, great. Sometimes
yeah.
If we just look deeper into who we are as an individual, we'll realize that we're beautiful just the way we are. Keith, what type of experiences, you know, just from a male perspective, have you noticed when it comes to females and their looks?
Well, you know what? Just like you said, a lot of female guys just kind of very insecure about certain things about themselves, and a lot
mm-hmm.
of times they don't even really be that bad until they point it out. So these things, you don't, as men, we don't even really notice until they point it out to you. But it's just that they're so insecure about the situation that they feel like they want to get some, what you call it, some approval on it. Or like, for example, I have a friend who who's a nice looking girl, but every single thing that's wrong with it, she got to ask me. That look okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, I don't. It look bad. It look bad. It don't look right. I don't even know what to do to help her with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes
mm-hmm.
and she gets treatments and things like that, and I don't know what to say about it, because if it's not one thing, it's another. You know, first it was some a skin issue, and then it was a breast issue. It was just one thing after another. So I witness all the time with certain females.
Right.
No, I was just about to say, a lot of the times it's issues us as men don't even really notice or pay a whole lot of attention to, you know.
Right. I definitely agree that sometimes I think that we're just, when I was talking to April earlier today, she made some very interesting points, so that's why I cannot wait for her to join the show. But one of her points she made was that, you know, sometimes we do put a lot of focus on the media and what media shows us that is sexy and that's pretty and what society deems as pretty. We put a lot of emphasis on that, but we forget to look back into what we learned growing up from our own, like from our family, our parents, our primary social group. And, you know, our primary social group is our parents, and then our teachers, our brothers, our sisters, our family members. And then what type of messages have we received as children, you know, growing up, that we've internalized, and now we looked at media, and that has actually confirmed what we've internalized about our own, about ourselves. And
yeah,
I thought that was an interesting perspective.
That is true. But, you know, sometimes, regardless, because you have the most beautiful women out here that are insecure about certain things, and it's hard to believe, but they really are. So regardless how much somebody said how beautiful they are or how good they look, it's something they, like you mentioned, man, it's something they got to understand internally in order for them to get over it. But it's a lot to it, man, because people get a lot of work done. They end up making themselves worse than what they was in the first place. You know?
Right. They make themselves worse, or they end up in situations like our guest tonight, and or they end up dying. And, you know, it's been many stories in the news lately that I've read where these women are, some women are going out there and they're looking for a cheaper option to beautify themselves. So they're going on the black market to receive these butt injections or sometimes breast implants or whatever. But mainly, you know, we've been hearing about the butt injections, and they receive these injections and they're dying. The latest story I heard was, I read, a woman, she went to these two women who posed as practitioners, and they were giving her the silicone injections each time she went. I think she went a couple of, maybe about four or five times. And then, but each time they filled her injection site with super glue, which I don't think is what you're supposed to be filling it with. And then the last time she went for her injection, I think it was her fifth one, she died. And they actually left her there overnight. Her body was there overnight, did not call the police, did not call the ambulance until the next morning. And they haven't even been able to find these women. They're gone now.
Yeah, that's all about the ask. I mean, they ain't been able to find them.
No, they haven't found the women who did this to the to this particular individual. And I did hear another story before that where another lady, the same thing. She went and she was having her injections done. It was on the black market as well. And she ended up passing away as well, because we don't know. If it's not being done professionally, we do not know what they're putting in our bodies. And our bodies are sacred. That is the one thing in our life that we cannot skimp on. We cannot cheapen. You know, we have to make sure we're doing research. We're out there looking up doctors. If this is something we're going to do, you know, we try to do it the right way, quote unquote, right way, if we can. And, go ahead.
I was about to ask you a question, because I'm not too familiar with these procedures, but is this something that, like, I keep hearing things about Nicki Minaj and things like that. Are these procedures that you just have to keep getting done just to keep it up? Like, keep getting injections, like, every so often just to keep the look going?
Now, that's something I'm not sure because that's not an area that I've researched in particular, but I'm assuming that eventually this stuff is going to wear down. And, I mean, it's a foreign object inside of your body. I don't know how long it lasts and if it lasts forever. So I really cannot answer that question to give you the best answer mm-hmm. possible. But if anyone is out there while we're waiting on our guest to call in, please press 1 if you have something you want to say, you want to make a comment. If you're someone who have received an enhancement of some kind and you want to share your story, we would love to hear from you. If you had it and it was successful or it wasn't successful, or what type of research did you do in order to come to your decision. And we do have some callers, so I'm going to answer. The first one is 1752, the last four digits.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hey. Good.
Hey, this is Helen Lindsay. I'm chiming in on behalf of April Michelle Brown. She should be with us momentarily.
Okay. Well, Helen, save your thought. Helen, can you save your thought for one quick second? Because I want to talk to you more in depth. So I just want to bring this other caller on really quickly, and I'm going to come right back to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, one moment. Okay, 9194.
Yes, this is Seneca, actually.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hopefully everybody can hear me because I'm a little bit under the weather right now. But I do want to, like, share just a little something. If a lot of people who are on here have ever went to my Facebook page, they know I'm plus size. And don't get me wrong. I really do feel like I'm very beautiful. But I'm not going to lie. There is some work that I want to be done regarding my look.
Seneca, one second. Do you have like a TV on in the background or something on in the background?
Yeah, that's my neck. Hold on, one second.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay, we can hear you much better now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was in there with my nephew. But just as being someone who all my life I have been on the heavier side, mm-hmm. just learning to really embrace that and just really learning to love myself. But I'm not going to lie and tell nobody that it's not some work that I want to be done. Now, am I willing to go the black market route? No. Mm-hmm. But as a woman and as somebody who wants to, how can I say it? As a woman and somebody who wants to, like, basically fix some things that they feel like they need to be fixed,
mm-hmm.
that's just me. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm just going to do a total makeover on myself or I'm just going to get everything fixed on myself. But being 31 years old with no children
mm-hmm.
and things like that, you know, the way that the society has built this up and has made a lot of us feel, honestly, I feel like, you know, in order for me to get what I want
mm-hmm.
in life, I have to change some things, whether it be physically, a lot of my mental, a lot of things that I have changed over mentally has already been completed, but on the outside, I know that we are very visual people as a human race, and I know that in order for me to get to where I want to be, it's a lot of things that physically that has to be changed. Is that fair? No. But at the same time, if I want to get where I want to be at in my career and everything else, I have to change these things. Am I working towards that? Yes. But as far as getting the surgeries and things like that, I haven't done that yet. But I'm taking other steps as far as me getting out there and actually losing the weight and stuff like that before I go
mm-hmm.
to those surgeries. But that's just me. I'm not saying that, you know, everything is all right. No, but, you know, that's just the way that I feel in order for me to get where I want to be.
Where is it that you're trying to be?
I'm in the hair and makeup industry. And,
okay.
I do hair and makeup. I still do. I travel doing hair and makeup for a lot of weddings and things like that. But for in order for me to hit another bracket, in order for me to just get out of the norm and hit just another area, most people are not just looking at my work and seeing that I have talent. They're looking at me. You know, they're looking at me. They're looking at, okay, yeah, she can do this, but look at her size. Da, 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 da. I get that all the time. And I have been told personally, you know, for a wedding recently, the lady, she actually called me in and she wanted me to do a test run with her for hair and makeup. But her parents, because of my size, they were like, she can do good. She's very good. But she's not, the look that she has is not what we're looking for, because she will be invited to the wedding and stuff like that. So that's what I look at. And I'm like, dang, you know, they're going to pick somebody that's this size or maybe not as good as me. And hands down, don't get me wrong, I really do believe that I'm very talented because of the gift that I believe God has placed in me. But then I do believe that in a way, because of my size, it's a holdup. My size is a holdup because a lot of people won't book me because of my size.
I think that's very unfortunate, and I do definitely think that's a testament to the type of society that we live in, because our appearance, you know, as long as we are well kept and we look, you know, we're healthy, we're well kept, we're not dirty, we're not dingy, whatever, I feel like it shouldn't matter our actual size, because what's important is what you bring to the table. What can you do? How can you make things better for me in regards to the service that I'm hiring you for? So I'm sorry that you're going through that, but do you feel like your weight at all plays any part into your health, or do you feel healthy at your weight? Because we all know that just because you're a plus size woman doesn't mean that you're unhealthy. But I'm just asking you that as a personal question, if you don't mind.
As far as my weight and my health, and in certain aspects, my weight has affected my health. For one example, as far as my, I was born with underdeveloped lungs. My mom, she had me when she was 6 months pregnant. So I was born with underdeveloped lungs. So, like, understand whenever I say that I've been plus size all my life, that's true, because I have been on steroids all of my life. I'm 31 years old, and at the age of 22 years old, I finally got the voice to tell the doctors, no, I'm not going to take steroids anymore. But whenever I get taken into the hospital, every time I get taken into the hospital for anything to do with my lungs, they're always pumping me with steroids because my lungs are underdeveloped and things like that. So as far as my weight, the steroids do have a big part of that. But then a lot of it, I have to blame it on myself, because honestly, I like to eat. I'm just like any other human being. I love to eat. Do I always pick healthy choices? No, I don't. I don't always pick healthy choices. But I do know that a lot of times, just in a lot of aspects, the only problems that runs in my family is obesity. But my mom, she was 36 years old in 2006, which I was 22. She was 36 years old when she passed away. It was all of a sudden. She never, every time we went to the doctor with her, she never had diabetes, never had heart issues, none of that. Everything was all of a sudden. She stroked 4 times. She seized 4 times at 31 years old and 5 years away from the age that my mom passed away. It scares me, because in my family, it doesn't show. You don't show diabetes. You don't show heart problems. You don't show any of that, because we don't have that. But obesity is in so many different forms. You don't have to have high blood pressure. And I learned that with my mom. that I don't have to have high blood pressure in order to die, or mm-hmm. I don't have to have diabetes in order to die. But at 31 years old, I'm looking at it now, and I'm like, you know, Seneca, you have to take a more healthier route. You have to do mm-hmm. something different. So I have been lately been doing things different and eating different, exercising, being more mobile and things like that. Because usually anybody who knows me, I would jump in that truck and I would drive. I don't care if it's just to the mailbox, I'll drive. I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my head, I was like, you know what? I have a vehicle for a reason. I'm not going to walk anywhere. Now I take the extra step to walk. I take the extra step to, instead of me parking in the front, I park in the back now, and then I walk. I'm more mobile now. It was a time where I wouldn't walk nowhere. When I'm going to the mall, I go park by the store that I'm going to park, that I'm going to go shop at. Now I park in the back, and I just walk around the mall because I'm a shopper, and I love makeup and stuff like that. So
mm-hmm.
parking by Macy's so that I can go to the MAC counter. I park over by JCPenney's, and I walk around, you know, because Macy's and JCPenney's here in Miami, they're on completely opposite sides of the mall. So instead of me parking over by Macy's, I go all the way around. I walk all the way around just to make myself more mobile. I'm learning now that nothing is going to be handed to me. And being plus size, you have to work harder in order for people to believe in you. Like now I'm out passing out cards. I'm out doing this. I'm setting up a website. I'm making T-shirts. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But at the same time, I'm not being lazy like I was. And I do, like, and just to go back to what you were saying, my health had a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping all the time. When you're overweight, you like to sleep. Eat and sleep. Instead of me eating and sleeping now, what I have learned to do is I just, instead of me eating past a certain time, I don't eat past 7 o'clock now. If I want something to snack on, I just go grab a bowl of fruit. I'm learning to eat more vegetables and things like that, even though all of them don't always taste good and things like that. I'm learning, like, little tricks from friends who have lost the weight by themselves and things like that. So, you know, I'm taking the necessary precautions because I don't want to be the 36-year-old who's stretched out across the church and people mm-hmm. are crying over me.
I applaud your efforts, and really I applaud your efforts, and definitely applaud you for being brave enough to even share your story, and also my condolences to you for your mother and the loss that you suffered. I did have Helen came back on the phone. She said she wanted to give you a comment. So, Helen, you're there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. First of all, young lady, I just want to tell you that, you know, God has made us all in his image, and nobody is perfect. And I didn't even say perfect, right? It's perfect. If anybody was going to really look at that as being something as a flaw, I want you to instill in yourself that you can be great at whatever you are mastering by continuing to practice it, no matter how big or small you are. And what illuminates to people is your inner energy. And as long as you're feeling this way about yourself, people are going to see it on the outside. You may not think they're seeing it, but they're going to see it on the outside. And I'm going to tell you why I know this. Because I'm a quadruple amputee. I have no hands or feet, like our special guest who will probably join us in a few minutes. And I've had to think to myself over the last 25 years, if I had to think about all the things that people were thinking or saying, oh, I would have never been able to accomplish all the things that I've done. And I say this to you to say that it's all in you, the power that you possess within yourself, and increase the value that you feel about yourself. And then look at your health. That's the only thing that should be of a concern to you, not what the public sees, not who's going to hire you and whatever. You're going to run across some people out there that are very cruel. You're going to run across people that are going to embrace your work. So please, by all means, do not, you know, continually down yourself for any reason possible, because what you probably could end up doing is just with the stress bring on hypertension and bring on diabetes. And I say that because I'm a nurse as well. So, and I'm saying that just continue to do your health things because, yes, African Americans are having strokes by the numbers. I can tell you about five people I know about right now that have had massive strokes, and they're in their 40s. And so I don't want you to be so concerned about your clientele, because your clientele will come to you because of your work. And as long as you continue to practice your work and believe in your work and validate yourself with your work, you will be successful. I can guarantee you that.
Okay. Well, Helen, thank you very much. Seneca, did you have anything you want to say before we're going to go to a song and then we're going to come back. But did you have anything you want to say before we do that?
No.
Okay. Well, I hope you two connect. I think that was wonderful. Helen, thank you very much. I'm going to put you on mute for 1 second, and I'm going to come back to you. And give me one moment. I have 3392 on the line. Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
It's me, Michelle.
Hey, girl.
I just want to congratulate the young lady who was just on the phone, Seneca, on her first step to becoming healthy. I just want to let her know. I know how it is. I'm a plus-size girl. I just want to tell her don't give up. Don't be shy when you're trying to get your workout on. You know, take it. You're walking right now around the mall and everything. Go the extra step, you know, and do another activity. May start with Zumba or something first. But just don't give up and continuously push yourself, because that's the only way you're going to get to where you need to be. And you're going to find those same people that you may think that may be against you. For example, I go to the gym. I'm a bigger girl, and I would think, and I thought that those little skinny girls or those bodybuilder guys that's in the gym would look at me and say, "Ooh, why she's in there?" Or, you know, that they were the same people that helped me. So you'll be surprised who will be in your corner. So I just want to tell her, just don't give up, and I just want to congratulate her with everything that she's doing. And I know it's hard being a plus-size girl and just trying to be healthy, being healthy overall, eating clean, exercising. That's hard for anybody. So I just want to tell her, don't give up and keep going and keep pushing yourself to the next limit, because you can do it. And that's it. I was really happy to hear her talk.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
I hope she's still listening.
She's still there.
Oh, another thing is that if she could, I do have a support group. We work via WhatsApp. No, GroupMe. We work through GroupMe. So if she could, I guess, I don't know if she could leave, I guess, her, put a comment or something inside of the invite page.
She's
on there. I can connect with her. Okay. I can connect with her and possibly get her information and add her to the support group. It's women of all different sizes, but we all have the same goal. It's just to push each other to the next limit when it comes to being healthy and being active. So if that's something she's interested in, please, you know, just leave a little comment saying, "This is me," so I can, you know, connect with you. And, again, my name is Michelle, and so I would love to have you in the group. The group is no judgment or anything like that, because, like I said, it's women of all different sizes. So, but it's great, and it's very motivational. So, again, okay. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. I think that's wonderful. We need each other. Like, women need support. We need to know that we are beautiful, that we are valuable. We need to hear it from each other more so than from anyone else. because
yep.
it's like we're looking in the mirror at ourselves. And it gives us this sense of, you know, like we always feel like we're, a lot of women feel like they're in competition when it comes in the looks department, I guess, to other people. But when you have someone else out there that's saying, another woman that's telling you that you're beautiful, it means so much more than to hear that from the opposite sex. Or if you're in the same sex genre, it means so much more even to hear it from a lesbian woman. It's just like you just hearing this from another woman that you're beautiful, that you know, you look good, or that your clothes is nice, or whatever. We need to support each other. It just means a lot. And it helps boost confidence and self-esteem. So I think that group is great, and I love that you came on here and you shared. Thank you so much, Nichelle.
No problem. All right, bye-bye.
All righty, bye. Okay, so what we're going to do is go to a song, and then we're going to come back, and hopefully our guests have joined us by then, and we will continue the show. So we're going to do Treasure by Bruno Mars.
Baby squirrel, use a sexy motherfucker.
Give me your attention, baby. I gotta tell you a little something about yourself. You're wonderful, flawless, who you a sexy lady. But you walk around here like you wanna be someone else.
Welcome back to the G-Spot with Mika Ray. So as you know, tonight's show is on Dying to be Beautiful. And our special guest, I'll give you a quick background, and then I'm going to bring Helen back on. So our guest, her name is April Michelle Brown. And I'm not sure if she's being held up or not, but a little bit about her. She received butt injection.
Right.
Yeah. Do you want to go ahead and tell it, Helen? Since you're on, you can.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Approximately 5 years ago, Ms. Brown went to
one of the, you know, the black market, to the black market individual that you referred to by one of her clients. And she tells you that after the first injection, which was very painful, she felt like something may be wrong. Then she also went forward to tell me that she went back for the second injection, and then she knew definitely that something was wrong. Then she started to notice in her buttocks as they began to, as the silicone began to absorb through her muscles, would make indentations, and she was having a lot of pain. And so she kept having this pain for years, and the doctors were never able to remove the silicone, you know, because it had already absorbed into every tissue there was in her buttock. And so the end result was when it finally spread throughout her her buttocks and the tissues surrounding her buttocks, by that time she became septic. And what that means is that any type of bacteria that's running through your body that makes an infection or makes you infectious can shut down your body organs. And what happens is that your body is fighting to have the blood continually be absorbed by your body organs to keep you alive. So therefore, your hands and your feet are not that important. And therefore, the blood flow is cut off by the medications that the doctors use to keep your major organs functioning. And so
Helen, so did she suffer something very similar to you?
Yes, yes. What happened was her body organs started to fail, and in order for them to keep your body organs alive, they give you a medication called dobutamine, which is a constrictor, vessel constrictor, and so therefore all the blood is rushing to your kidneys, your lungs, your liver, everything that's going to keep you alive except your hands and your feet. And so gangrene set in her hands and her feet, as told that it did with me. But, however, they also had to remove her butt cheeks and her hips, mm-hmm. along with her hands and feet. And she would most certainly say, in her own words, I'm April Michelle Brown, no hands, no feet, and no butt cheeks. She has a very great sense of humor with what has happened with her. You know, she accepts the positive with the negative, is of course, but more so the positive. And she's been a very inspirational part of my life as I've gotten to know her over the last couple of years. I've yet to meet her. I will be meeting her hopefully August when she does her book signing. But if anybody has any questions as to why the reason why she went for the butt injections in the first place was because she was always teased as a kid, and most mm-hmm. of us were teased about something, mm-hmm. and she was teased about her butt being flat, and for years that just, you know, what kept coming up into her subconscious saying, you know, she's got to do something about this, something about this, something about this, even though she's a beautiful woman, she still had that what she felt like was a flaw, and that's mm-hmm. what encouraged her to go have that done. And I even asked her myself, did she research it before? She said no, and so therefore, you know, she accepts full responsibility for what she did, but then she doesn't make light of it either, meaning that she does not say that you know, don't do this or don't do that. What she will tell you is how she's endured the scrutiny that has followed her with what her decision that she made five years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then for her to be someone just like me, it's very refreshing for me because, you know, I don't meet that many black women that are quadruple amputees my age that I'm able to connect with. And it's been a really wonderful experience. And I think that when I meet her, this phenomenal woman, in person, I'm going to be in awe of her after 25 years of my own amputation. So, but one thing I will tell you, that she is in the gym as I'm talking to you now, probably working out, testing the
some fitness equipment because she was given the my electronic arms, the iLimb, which those arms are $100,000 plus the running legs because she does hiking, and those legs probably run between $50,000 and $100,000 when she appeared on the doctors. And I just think that was just such a blessing and a great surprise for her, for picking herself back up and allowing herself to be seen into the world and not sinking herself into a depression or, oh, it's me and why did I do this? You know, beating herself up about it. She didn't do that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know when I was a kid, specifically for me, I see called Big Forehead, and then one guy called me Bowlegs, and I remember going home that evening and trying to break my legs because I thought they were bowed. So now I don't have that problem now, but you know what I'm saying? So people will go to certain extremes because of just one little thing that will, you know, just bother them, and then also it also had a lot to do with her religion. And if you read, go to her website, AprilMichelleBrown.com, you can read some of the excerpts from her book that will be coming out soon. And then also, if you go to that website, you'll also see her interview with the doctors, and also she was featured in Essence magazine. And she's also a makeup artist and has salon. She had a beauty salon in L.A., very successful beauty salon. And does anybody have any questions of me that I can possibly answer for on her behalf?
Well, I know from what I've read and what she told me, you know, from my chat with her earlier, so she thought they were injecting her with silicone, but they were actually
correct.
Injecting her with bathroom sealant.
Right. The chalk, you know, the type of stuff that you can use around the bathtub and around the windows to keep the to make them windproof or whatever. Yeah, that chemical was used.
Oh my goodness. That is amazing to me. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah. I just want to know, as far as right now, do you all have any idea where the women, you know, the people out there actually did that to her?
She chooses not to disclose, and that's a personal reason that she has for that. But
okay.
I think that from what I understand, though, that possibly the person somehow may have injected themselves, so they may not even be alive. So that's a possibility that has occurred.
Oh, my goodness. Now, she also was given, what, 24 hours to live?
Right. See, what happens is, and just like with me, I was going to be given 24 hours to live because they're not thinking that you're going to make it out of the what they call is DIC, and most doctors call that death is coming. And what it is just when you start to bleed and clot at the same time, like I was explaining to you, how the blood is diffusing to the organs. And so I'm not sure if she went as far as I did, but I had blood coming out of my eyes, my ears, my nose, every orifice of my body that it would come out of, that's where it was coming. With April, though, she was out of the coma, doing a lot of the decision making. So she saw her limbs and all those type of things. I saw mine probably a few hours right before they did the amputation.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a coma for the whole time, but she was awake during most of the ordeal. Yeah, so she was fully conscious and fully aware of what was going to happen. And so she said that if this is what you have to do to save me, then yes, do this. And she even said that prior to her getting to that part in her life, she even asked them, you know, pretty much, take the butt. If you need to take the butt, then take the butt. But
mm-hmm.
no doctor would attempt to do it. And then when they did attempt to do it, then, of course, they had to go back in. And then that's when the infection set in, and the rest was
is what it is.
Oh, my goodness. That's very, very, very unfortunate. But I do like, from reading her story, I posted everyone. I did post her story in the invite, so you do have a chance to read it and learn more about her as well as go to her website. But just what I did learn from her is that she's very determined. She's very set on living a full life in spite of being, like you said, a quadruple amputee. She's doing a lot, and she really has a huge message. She speaks against injections, and from what I've read and from what she's told me, she's speaking against injections, whether they are the legal ones or the ones on the black market. My thing is, I always tell people, if you're going to do anything to your body, just research, and make sure that you know that this is something that you want to do, because no matter what it is that you're doing to enhance your body, your body would never be the same.
Right.
You're not even going to be the, you may not even feel like the same person. It's the same when people, you know, when they start losing weight, they still have to now get to know this new person that they've become from this weight loss, because your world changes. The people around you change, the type of people who want to talk to you change, the type of things that happen to you. Everything just starts to change and things become different. So you go through a grieving period of the person who you were, and then now you're trying to learn this new person. And it's a big decision to make.
But you remember, that didn't happen to me until maybe a year ago, Mika. I remember I told you about my story about how I jumped right back into wanting to live a normal life, and that's what I'm trying to get back to doing, is living a normal life again. But that's not here nor there. But with April, the thing that I will tell you is that because of her savviness and her wisdom, she has a lot of wisdom. She has inspired and empowered me. And one thing she will tell you is that the thing that she took from me was her ability to live on her own. And that's what she's doing. She's doing April, and she did complete a triathlon that was not for amputees, but she completed it, and she had to do like swimming, running, I've got the other obstacles that she had to do. So she completed that. She did a journey over to Jamaica. She's an ambassador of one of the orphanages over there. So she's sending flour over to Jamaica. And she's also still traveling around, you know, promoting her story, So which is very, very powerful. And then how she allows the spirit to really move her and to empower her. And that's one thing that a lot of people have to understand. When you feel like there is a flaw, because we, you know, Hollywood, this is the television, the internet, the phones, the pictures, all that type of stuff, it can drive anyone that has a self-esteem problem, a self-confidence problem, a value problem, to really become sucked into society, what is quote unquote normal. And there
right.
is no quote unquote normal.
I agree. The other thing, too, is I like the fact that she's moving on with her life. And I always say there are no mistakes. You know, things happen how they're supposed to happen. And without it happening to her, then someone else's life wouldn't be touched, or someone else's life wouldn't have been saved, or your life, Helen, like you said, you wouldn't have been as influenced as you are to get past the humps that you have gone through. So things happen for us that seem like a mistake in that time, but it was actually all in divine order.
Exactly.
And we, and that's even our imperfection.
Right.
They're there for a reason. And We have to embrace them, love them, and live our life the best that we can, being the best person that we can be.
That's right. Exactly.
Exactly. Well, I think we had a pretty good show tonight. I am a little hurt that we didn't get to hear from Miss April Brown. But I think
we may have to
Helen,
do this again.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
You need to do a part two, but you didn't have enough callers calling you.
Oh, Helen, that has nothing to do with it. I didn't have her calling in. But I do thank you for being here on her behalf and sharing her story and answering some of the questions that I had. And I hope, and some of the questions that Keith had as well, and I hope that everyone out there who are listening, would you please go to her website, it's AprilMichelleBrown.com. I posted it in the invite. But go to her website, learn more about her, and learn her story. If you have, if you're considering having any type of enhancement, I think her story is a powerful story to learn, and it can help you make an informed decision. I think everyone has the power to do what they want to do with their lives. Go out there and do whatever you want to do, but just make sure you're making a safe choice for yourself and you're making an educated choice.
May I add something, Mika?
Go ahead.
Okay, just with the silicone itself, anytime you hear the word silicone and you think back years ago when they first started making the breast implant and women would have, they were having problems with leakage of the silicone, just think that back to when that happened and how the silicone affected the body. Loose silicone does not belong in your body, period. Loose silicone, it doesn't matter if a plastic surgeon would not do that to you, period. It won't happen. So if by injecting you with silicone, it won't happen. A board-certified plastic surgeon will tell you that because we had problems with the leakage with the breast implants. That's why they started using saline. It was causing symptoms of infections, and the women would have breasts would become hardened, and then they would have to go and have reconstructive surgery. So that's why they took the silicone implants off the market, actually. So they shouldn't even be using silicone implants anymore.
Okay, well, that's definitely something that was needed to hear because I didn't know that. So I'm sure someone out there heard that. And
yes,
definitely post that in the invite, Helen, so people can see it.
Okay.
Because I think that's very important. And Keith, do you have anything that you would like to say before we wrap up the show?
No, I can just say this, man. It was very inspirational for me too. I mean, I think it's inspiration for everybody. So it was a very powerful one. It was a good subject.
I think so, too. Thank you very much. And I just hope that this show definitely touched somebody out there. And I really appreciate the callers that called in and they shared their story. Thank you, Seneca, so much. And Michelle, thank you. We really appreciate you both and applaud you both and just wish you well on your journey into becoming whoever you are becoming, you know, losing the weight and eating healthier. We wish you well on that journey.
Yes.
What were
indeed.
You saying? Yeah, indeed. Thank you, Helen, so much for sharing the story. And like I said, everyone, please go and read up on April Michelle. She does have a book that is coming out, I believe. You said, when is it coming out?
I think she told me August, so a date hasn't really been set, but I'm hoping that the listeners out there will oblige us by connecting the East Coast with the West Coast by donating a ticket to L.A.
Okay, Helen. Well, thank you for sharing your part of your story, too, because you have a very interesting story. And one day, maybe I could bring you back and we can go a little bit more in depth about your story as well. So everybody, make sure you subscribe to us on www.blogtalkradio.com/WJBR and listen to our other shows. We have Brunch in the Basement with Javon on Saturdays from 11 until 1. And, of course, she normally has a special guest, an R&B guest that comes on and share their journey from childhood to R&B fame. And then we have Sunday Evening Shout with Javon from 6:30 until 8:30 in the evening. That comes on each Sunday. And, of course, join me back on Monday night at 10 p.m. And we're going to close the show out with a song. It's called I Can't Wait by Sanchez. It is a reggae song. And you all know I love my reggae. But I think it's a great ending for tonight. And Keys, I hope you have a good night.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Everyone have a good night and a great week.